Discover five elements that constitute the gospel. Discover five elements that constitute the gospel. Today we are going to discover five key elements that constitute the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the complete gospel as the case may be. Hello friends, you are welcome to this platform entitled Kingdom Life, wherein we reveal and discuss things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Find us and follow us on YouTube, on Facebook, on Spotify, on Twitter, and on SoundCloud. Also like, subscribe to, and share this podcast to your contacts and on your various platforms. Thanks. This message is to help us discover and understand what the elements of the gospel are. After reading relevant texts, we shall examine five elements, make one or two observations at the end, and then conclude the message. We do not intend to keep you for too long. We are going to read from Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter. The first 6 verses of this chapter outline the names of the 12 disciples whom Jesus called and sent out to the field to go preach the gospel. Now, verses 7 and 8. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus commanded his servants to preach the gospel. However, the gospel of the kingdom has not been preached in its fullness. Some have preached only part of the truth. Some have mixed the truth with the false, while others have preached a different gospel altogether. This is why it is important for us to examine five elements that make up the true gospel, or the full gospel of Jesus Christ, as the case may be. These five elements of the blueprint we shall discuss was applied by the apostles in the early church and produced optimal results for the kingdom of Christ and of God. The same blueprint will produce the same results today if we also faithfully apply it. What are these five elements or five components of the gospel? 1. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. 2. Heal the sick. 3. Cleanse the lepers. 4. Raise the dead. 5. Cast out devils. All these go together the same way the five fingers of one's hand are together and are inseparable. So let's look at the first one. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus did not say preach the gospel. He said preach the gospel of the kingdom. There is a gospel of men. There are all types of gospels, but there is the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus is the king and he wants us to preach his gospel. The foundation of all what God does or God did or will ever do in every area of human life and human endeavor will flow from their hearing and believing the gospel of the kingdom. Be it blessing, salvation, the work of the ministry, marriage, human life, childbringing, or whatever. It is the gospel of the kingdom that is the basis of all what God will ever do. And why the gospel of the kingdom? We came from a kingdom. We lost a kingdom. Jesus came to redirect us back to that kingdom. So the gospel of the kingdom is actually, you have a kingdom which you lost, but I have come to show you how to get back into that kingdom. So it is important that this gospel of the kingdom should be preached and not any other gospel. And it is not the gospel about the kingdom of men. It is the gospel about the kingdom of God. That is why we opened with defining what the kingdom of God is, which is the basis of our discussion on this channel. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What is the gospel? Now, the word gospel means euangelion and translates into English as good news, gospel, glad tidings of salvation, a good message, that is, the message of God through Christ by the Spirit. It is the proclamation of the grace that God manifested and pledged in Christ, according to Thayer. Why good news? Good news comes into a situation which was previously bad or not good. For example, if you say to a rich man, someone who has more than enough to spare, that you want to offer him a loaf of bread to prevent him from getting hungry, that is not good news to him. But if you take the same loaf of bread and say to Lazarus, a poor man, Lazarus, I have a loaf of bread to give you so that you will not be hungry, that is good news to Lazarus, because it comes to change a situation that was previously not good, which your information and your action is coming to cause a turnaround to. The kingdom. Paul says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, or is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Two things do not make up the kingdom, or do not define the kingdom: eating and drinking. Three things define the kingdom: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself says of the gospel of the kingdom, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God and of Christ and of God. We see in this a sense of duty, a sense of urgency, and a sense of obligation. Many people are dying. Many people are perishing and going to hell because they have not heard the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. God will destroy this sinful world at the end and reveal a new heaven and a new earth from heaven to those who will be saved and who will have to spend eternity with him. We are told in Revelation 20:15 and 21:1-2, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God showed John a vision through Christ by the Holy Spirit, a vision of this new heaven. We preach this gospel so that those who are lost should come to Jesus Christ and be saved, and now have the chance to live in the kingdom of God now and in the new Jerusalem at the end. Thus, the gospel, which is good news and glad tidings about salvation, is God's grace to men through Christ. This is what is preached to the unsaved, that God has dealt with the sin issue of man and Christ's death has reconciled humanity back to him. The lost should therefore hear this, believe it, come back home, and be in paradise with God. The second aspect of the gospel, heal the sick. Heal the sick. So after preaching the gospel, if you meet someone who is sick, heal the sick. Don't only preach. The second element is heal the sick. Jesus expects us to heal those who are sick in their bodies. This includes their minds. We are three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. We are saved and regenerated spiritually at salvation. But healing takes care of our bodies. To heal means to cure the body of sickness and disease and restore it to a state of good health. Some of these destructive forces include leprosy, HIV and AIDS, cancer, madness, multiple myeloma, bone infection, and you name the rest. Here, Jesus did not say, pray for the sick so I should heal them. He said, heal the sick. And how do we heal the sick? We learn this from Mark's gospel. In my name. That means the sick are healed in the name of Jesus. And Jesus also said to the disciples, "You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Therefore, how do we heal the sick? The believer shall lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the sick shall be healed. For example, Peter and John met a lame man in the name of Jesus. Peter and John healed a lame man in the name of Jesus at the gate called Beautiful in Acts chapter 3. They said, "Silver and gold have we not to give you, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And they held the man's hand, helped him up. The man leaped up and walked, and his legs regained strength. The third aspect of the gospel, cleanse the lepers. While sickness may affect the body internally, leprosy usually attacks the body externally. It makes the skin rough, scaly, attacks the fingers, cripples them, and you name it. This is an act of curing the body and ridding it of skin disease, especially the disease of leprosy. Lepers were and are considered unclean and treated as social outcasts. Nobody likes to associate with a leper. But the difference Jesus makes is that the lepers are part of his scheme of things. He has space for lepers. Remember that when Jesus was born, society did not have space for him. He had to be born in a manger because all the top-class hotels were full. But when Jesus came to earth, the people that we do not have room for, Jesus made room for them, the lepers. Back then, this disease was transmittable and not curable. It was a terrible disease. No matter how much advancement has been made in medicine, leprosy is not still something people are at home with. This is why Jesus says, cure the lepers. How would they cure leprosy without contacting the disease themselves? The answer lies in the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. We are told how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about healing the sick and freeing all those that were oppressed of the devil. The apostles were sent out with the power of the Holy Spirit and asked to cure the lepers, to cleanse the lepers. Leprosy is a yoke, but the anointing is superior to this yoke, and the anointing breaks the yoke. If you are walking in the anointing, the yoke of leprosy has no power over you. For example, Jesus cured 10 men who had leprosy in Luke chapter 17, and they were cleansed. The leprosy left them. One of them came back to give thanks, and Jesus confirmed his healing, and he was made whole. Let me just quickly add, the difference between healing and wholeness is that if you are healed, the disease leaves your body, your health is restored. But you may still have the marks, the destruction caused by the disease on your body. For example, if you were cured of leprosy, the leprosy goes. The leprosy germs or virus goes. But when you are made whole, whatever was destroyed of your skin is renewed. Your skin becomes new like other parts of your body. Remember the case of Naaman, who was cured of his leprosy, and we are told that his skin was made whole and it became like the skin of a newborn baby. The fourth element of the gospel, raise the dead. While preaching the gospel, if someone dies, don't pray for God to raise the dead. You raise the dead. The understanding is that you have been empowered by the Spirit and by the anointing to raise the dead. This message is to believers. This message is not to apostles only. It's not to prophets only. It's not to evangelists only. It's not to pastors and teachers only. Mark says, "In whoever believes in my name. Therefore, if you are a believer, you are qualified to do these things by the power of the Holy Spirit. God promised us safety. God promised us long life. But there are people who die prematurely. Excuse me. There are people who lose their lives prematurely through witchcraft, sickness and disease, accidents, suicide, drowning, either through natural causes or through demonic causes. Raising the dead is part of God showing us his salvation through the messenger that preaches the gospel, finds a dead person, and raises him up. We know that Jesus raised the dead. We know that Apostle Paul raised Eutychus from the dead. These are two examples. We know that Elisha raised the Shunammite woman's son who was dead and brought him back to life. We know that the bones of Elisha, after he was buried, a dead soldier was thrown into his grave, and his body contacting the bones of Elijah caused life to come back in him. His anointed dead bones caused a man who had died prematurely to come back to life. 5. Cast out devils. Deliver people from demon spirits. Today we think that the demonic should be called schizophrenia or whatever modern academic or intellectual name has been applied to it. But this is the work of demon spirits. Jesus healed somebody of madness in the 5th chapter of Mark's Gospel, the guy who was possessed with a legion of demons. Psychology may tell you otherwise, but we are commanded to cure people, to deliver people from demons, to cast devils out of our bodies. Why should we do that? Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit has the right to inhabit our bodies. Paul exclaims, saying, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" 1 Corinthians 6:19. Christ is in us. 2 Corinthians 13:5 and Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember, for example, Paul and Silas delivered a girl who had a spirit of divination in her in the 16th chapter of Acts. Demon spirits need bodies to function on earth, because without bodies, their presence in the spirit on this as spirits on this earth is illegal. That is why they inhabit people, especially people who are not saved, people who are born again, people who are living in sin. It's easy to contact demon spirits. There are all kinds of ways of contacting demon spirits today: through social media, through movies, through pornography, through homosexuality, and all the like. Jesus says, cast them out. They are illegal occupants. They are polluting the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is not a suggestion. He said, cast them out. Just as Jesus chased the money changers out of the temple with such righteous indignation, this is how we should kick devils out of human bodies. Not some, but all demon spirits. Jesus also reminds us that the gospel is free. We received it freely and were saved, and we should preach it freely. This command has been mostly underlooked. But Isaiah says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk, without money and without price." The gospel is free. If I meet you on the way and I preach the gospel to you, I am not supposed to ask you money for it. I would be selling what Jesus already paid the price for. But there is a difference. If there is a book online or on Amazon you want to buy, don't expect that book to be given to you for free, except it's a giveaway. Otherwise, you have to buy it. But if I open the Bible and preach the Bible to you in church or on a crusade ground, I am not supposed to charge money for it, because God is well able to take care of those whom he sends to preach the gospel, if God is the one who sent them. Another thing is that if they went on their own, they will have to use all kinds of craft in order to draw money out of people, usually against their will and wish. Comments. The disciples could not pick and choose which of these elements of the grace bundle to execute. There are 5 elements. It was an all or nothing matter. The same is true for us today. We see the same thing in Psalm 107, which says, He sent forth His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The first thing is the word. The first thing is that, the next is that Jesus is the word. There was a sending, there was healing, and then there was deliverance from everything that destroys. This is God's order of things. If you preach only the gospel without healing the sick, without casting out demons, without raising the dead, without curing leprosy, without opening blind eyes and deaf ears, the gospel has little or no impact. It will just be a score of 1/5. That's a very poor mark. But if you give them the chance, if you give everyone the chance to experience all of these five elements, they will be overwhelmed and say, surely God is good. Remember that it is the goodness of God that draws men to repentance, not the wisdom of man. Summary. We have examined five elements which make up the gospel. As a recap, these elements are: 1. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. 2. Heal the sick. 3. Cleanse the lepers. 4. Raise the dead. 5. Cast out devils. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. As He sent the apostles in the early church, the 12 apostles, as He sent Paul, He is sending us today. The mandate has not changed. Jesus is the same eternal word. Now, before we go, you who is listening to this message, are you born again? Are you living right? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? We heard in the message that this wicked world shall be destroyed at the end, and those who are not saved shall perish and shall end up in a lake of fire. God does not say things just for saying sake. He means every word He says, and He says only what He means. This message is a chance for you to turn your life around, come back to Jesus, ask Him to save you, that you may become part of the King's family. Finally, friends, if you are not born again, just lift up your voice and pray and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I have lived in rebellion. I have lived my own life. But today I want to make my life right with You. I want to come back to You. Save me, wash me by Your blood, cleanse me. Take me as Your child again and give me a second chance and help me to live right. Give me new life and quicken me by Your Spirit. Take away the heart of stone from me and give me a heart of flesh, and give me a new and willing spirit, because You work in me both to will and to do of Your good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, I believe that you were edified by this podcast. Now you know what the five elements that make up the gospel are. When you hear somebody preach, find out after they preach the word, if the sick are in the congregation, are they asking people to carry the sick to the hospital, or are they healing them? When people die, are they raising the dead, or are they organizing funeral ceremonies? Jesus never organized a funeral ceremony. The apostles never organized funeral ceremonies. That is Jesus' will for us, to do according to His good pleasure, to follow His example. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. He imitated Christ and also raised the dead. He preached the gospel. He preached the whole counsel of God. Peace be to you and blessing to you and yours. See you on the next episode. Goodbye for now. God willing.